From Moscow with love, this is Vasily and Natalie on The Voice of Russia. Online, on digital, AM, FM, and on shortwave via WRMI. Hello, world. Welcome to the show.
Hi, folks.
Now, how are you today, Natasha? Are you feeling any better?
I really don't know. Something's wrong with my head.
What else is new?
Come on, I'm not kidding. You know what I did a couple of days ago? A friend of mine, she's a doctor, brought me $70 worth of medications for my daughter, Sandy.
Oh.
And the medications were in a plastic bag. I took the bag and decided to put it in a safe place until Sandy came to the dacha. At that moment, someone called me, and for the life of me, I don't remember where I put the bag. We searched the house upside down, inside out. The pills were gone.
Did you look in the fridge?
I did. Mom put her slippers there once when I was taking my entrance exams in college.
So it you could say it runs in the family.
Probably. When I was in my teens, Mom used to hide money in books, and we have an enormous library at home, so we could never find anything afterwards.
Did she hide it from you?
No. She sort of tried to save it that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, logically, I mean, couldn't she use the bank?
No, not her. She never had any bank accounts, never saved money, and neither do I. But right now, I'm worried about my memory. Am I losing it? Tell me frankly.
I don't think so. I think you're just absent-minded, that's all. You told me you were constantly daydreaming.
I am, and I do lots of things automatically. I never remember whether I've locked the door or not.
Yeah, there you are. So what happened to the meds? Did you find them?
Nope. Okay. I believe I must have automatically dumped them into the garbage bin.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. However, it may be a blessing in disguise. What is it? $70 worth of some mindless medications?
No.
Yes. What sort this time? Herbs? Voodoo? Dry snake skin? Listen, leave poor Sandy alone. Don't poison the girl. And go buy some memory pills for yourself.
You'll be surprised. I already have very good nose drops. They reach your brain in several seconds.
I hope they work.
I hope so, too.
Speaking of memories, do you remember the last time you promised to tell us what the Bolshoi Theater in Moscow is up to?
I did.
It was at the request of Enrique Zahoro, who writes, any news about Bolshoi Theater and the classical music scene in Russia? Anything interesting to mention?
Oh, of course I remember the letter and Enrique. But that will have to wait. The Bolshoi Company is on vacation now after a major tour of the United States, and the season is opening on September 14th with Mussorgsky's opera Boris Godunov.
Mm-hmm.
One of my former students is a violinist with the Bolshoi Orchestra. As soon as she's back from vacation, I'll interview her about their plans, the latest developments, even rumors and gossip, and you'll know everything straight from the horse's mouth, I promise. In the meantime, let me give you some basic facts about the Bolshoi in case you don't know. In March 1776, Empress Catherine the Great granted permission to hold theater performances of all kinds, including masquerades, balls, and other forms of entertainment for a period of 10 years. And it is from this date that Moscow's Bolshoi Theater traces its history. The Bolshoi Building, which for many years now has been regarded as one of Moscow's main sites, was opened on January 18th, 1825. It was built by architect Osip Bove in place of the Petrovka Theater, which burned down in 1805. The theater stands in Teatralnaya, or Theater Square, next to the Mali Theater, together with which they make up one architectural ensemble.
You know something, I've always wondered about these names, the Bolshoi, the Mali. This sounds kind of strange, especially to a foreign ear.
They're not strange. The Bolshoi means big, and the Mali means small. Traditionally, these names have not been translated into any other languages because these two theaters are unique, and everyone knows them by these names. The Bolshoi, the major ballet and opera theater in Russia, and the Mali, the oldest Russian drama repertory theater. On October 29th, 2002, the Bolshoi was given a new stage, and it was here that the company performed while the historic stage was undergoing massive reconstruction and refurbishment. The reconstruction project lasted from July 1st, 2005 to October 28th, 2011. As a result of it, many lost features of the historic building were reinstated, and at the same time, it has become one of the most technically advanced theater buildings in the world.
Well, here's something interesting I found recently. A new Bolshoi Theater to be built for making of a ballet blockbuster movie. According to RIA News, Russian director Valery Todorovsky will build a replica of Moscow's Bolshoi Theater for his new film Bolshoi, which is set to begin shooting in the fall and is to be released in 2015. We will have to partly build another Bolshoi Theater because it is easier than filming in the theater itself, which is expensive, he said. The only area of the Bolshoi that the cast and crew will film in is the theater's dressing rooms. Todorovsky said he was almost successful in persuading legendary ballet dancer Mikhail Baryshnikov to join the movie.
Ooh.
Yeah, but in the end, he refused to come to Russia. Baryshnikov defected from the Soviet Union to Canada in 1974 and has never been back to his homeland. But Todorovsky still hopes it will all work out in the end.
So, as you can see, the Bolshoi is in for a lot of exciting events.
Thank you, Natasha. We'll get back to the story in September to hear about the Bolshoi's new season. This is From Moscow with Love, from the Voice of Russia, Natasha. So, you like taking the suburban train from Moscow to the dacha and back, correct?
Whether I like it or not, but it is the shortest and quickest way I can get there.
Well, listen to this. I've always said people are idiots, and it's a dog-eat-dog world out there.
That's radically putting it.
Moskovsky Komsomolets newspaper is with me on this one. It questions the notion that man is good.
Aboard!
Passengers of a suburban train outside Moscow stole the belongings and finished off all the remaining beer of a man who fell out of the train. The unlucky passenger was keeping the door of the moving train car open to get some fresh air in the un-air-conditioned environment.
It's a furnace inside.
The poor guy lost his balance, slipped and fell from the car, leaving behind an unfinished beer, two car bumpers, and a screw gun.
Ooh.
Called to the scene, train officials refused to pick up the man's belongings, which was all a fellow passenger needed. As he finished the beer and took the bumpers and the power tool.
Very typical of beer drinkers in commuter trains. By the way, do you know that it's forbidden now? Did the poor wretch survive?
I have no idea. I assume he did, as God watches out for babies and drunks.
Right.
The irony of the situation is that the incident took place in the notorious Booze Express, running from Moscow to the town of Pitushki, 120 kilometers east of the capital.
Ah, now I see. Yes, the famous prose poem Moscow Pitushki by Venedikt Yerofeyev, considered by critics to be the pinnacle of Soviet literature. It's a story of an alcoholic's journey to the village of Pitushki, and at one point the protagonist is robbed of his booze.
Right, but unlike real life, he manages to track down the perpetrators. Breaking news, I'm Vasily Strelnikov at the VR News Center. The Mail Online is reporting a Russian fisherman was saved from a bear attack when his cell phone went off with a ringtone featuring Justin Bieber's song Baby. 42-year-old Igor Vorozhbitsyn was pounced on by the bear as he was walking to his favorite fishing spot. As soon as the ringtone played, the bear turned tail and fled back into the forest. Igor later remarked he was lucky he let his granddaughter load the ringtone into his phone. And this just in, this radio program has just obtained the exclusive video footage of the man being attacked by the bear. Okay, there's Igor, relaxed, walking along the river. There's the bear. Oh my God, a struggle! Igor doesn't have a chance! There's the cell phone. There's the mighty Russian bear, yelping like a dog. Disgusted by the world-famous Canadian artist, retreating into the forest. Dramatic footage there, Natasha, proving once again the triumph of talent and beauty over evil.
This is from Moscow with Love, from the Voice of Russia. Did you do anything interesting this weekend, Vasily?
Oh, yes, I literally went underground.
Where?
I finally got around to visiting a unique exhibition complex of the Cold War times, situated 65 meters underground. It's the equivalent of 18 floors in the center of Moscow. It's called Bunker 42. Now, work on it began in the 1940s, and by the 1960s, it was completely equipped with everything needed to survive a nuclear attack. Supplies of food, fuel, air regeneration and vent filter systems. A water supply system could keep the installation operating over a month. The underground facility lies next to a metro system, and you can actually hear and feel the trains pass by. The interior bunker was hidden with an outer shell representing an apartment block, and soldiers were required to dress up as if they lived there and switch lights on, off, move curtains, etc., etc., to make it all seem like it was a real apartment block. Also, the whole operation was so secret at the time that a lot of the people working there did not have a complete understanding of where they were located and what it was they were doing. Many of the civilians were driven in blacked-out buses.
Hold on a second. If it's a top-secret facility, why is it open to the public?
Well, apparently it was decommissioned after the Cold War and was auctioned off.
Oh.
It is amazing what you can see down there. Comm centers, control rooms, there's even Stalin's office and den.
Wow.
Keep in mind, this was the facility where Khrushchev would have pushed the button during the Cuban Missile Crisis. I noticed our guide was wearing a military uniform, although I doubt he was actually part of the system, but he was a very good actor, and at times he was rather arrogant and tough, like a true Soviet-era officer of the top-secret installation. This place is definitely not recommended for folks with claustrophobia or heart conditions.
Not for me.
As you have to walk the entire 18 floors. In fact, at the end of the tour, the actor guide says something like, "Well, this ends our tour, comrades, and what can be better than a nice summer stroll up 18 stories to ground level?" You know, I was thinking about the amount of disclaimers and waivers you would have to get signed if such an exhibition was located in the West. But not here, no. At one point during the tour, the lights all of a sudden go out. There's a loud explosion, and red lights start to blink all over the place, imitating what the place would look like in case of a nuclear attack. And that scared a lot of people on the tour. I could just see cardiac arrests all over the place.
Ooh.
At one point, the guide sits behind a control panel and initiates a mock-up of a nuclear launch. He claimed the equipment was real vintage, authentic. But I had a difficult time believing that after a closer inspection revealed LCD computer monitor screens manufactured by, shall we say, a very popular South Korean company. Here's something for all you DXers and shortwave listeners out there. The guide guard or whoever also mentioned that all shortwave jamming in those days was controlled from this very bunker. I found this interesting and asked him to elaborate or at least clarify what he meant by control of jamming. And he replied, "What's there not to understand? I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense. You know, how can you control jamming from underground? Would you have shortwave antennas up at ground level to monitor the frequencies?" Anyway, what do you folks think? Let me know. Overall, a very interesting place to visit, and I'll put up a video on our fan site. And yes, there's a souvenir store with ridiculously priced gas masks.
Did you buy one?
No, I didn't.
Speaking of money, how much for tickets?
Not cheap. No, two tickets set us back about $70, but definitely worth the hour-long tour. Something else that's not cheap, over $30, are the new batch of designer-made Vladimir Putin t-shirts that went on sale on Monday. The shirts were causing long queues at Moscow's famous GUM store on Red Square, and one of the first t-shirts were bought by American actor Mickey Rourke, who spent the whole weekend in Moscow. Now, 61-year-old Rourke was staying across the street at the Ritz-Carlton and came to the Russian capital to organize a boxing match, or as he put it, "I'm looking for one more fight." Asked by reporters what he thought about the t-shirts and Vladimir Putin's image on them, he replied, "It's a very good picture of the boss. I like the t-shirt. I bought 8. I have a Russian girlfriend. That's all I care about. To me, it's all about the family."
What a quote.
And speaking of quotes, we're going to get into our new segment called Quotes from Our Parents right after a short break. Don't go away. This is From Moscow with Love from the Voice of Russia. We're back. This is From Moscow with Love from the Voice of Russia. And it's time for a brand new segment that we call Quotes from Our Parents, catchphrases our Russian parents used to tell us in order to persuade us into doing this or that or simply to drive a point home. And let's start today with Ешь с хлебом, which means
eat your meals with bread. We were all taught to eat all our meals with bread and never thought twice about it. Why should we eat with bread? The answer was very simple. Did you ever think about it, Wes?
I actually did, yeah.
You see, the generation of our parents and grandparents lived through the Hungry War mm-hmm. and post-war years mm-hmm. when bread was the main and often the only ration, and bread was a sure thing, 100% nourishing. I stopped eating bread when I was a teenager and began to watch my figure. But my father-in-law, who in post-war years suffered from a severe case of dystrophy, insisted that my kids should eat even spaghetti with bread.
They still do that.
Well, some of them do, by the way.
Okay, here's one also related to food, by the way. Когда я ем, я глух и нем.
Old favorite.
Yeah, it sounds funny in Russian, and the only translation I could think of was, when I eat, I'm deaf and dumb. Well, would you relax? Would you say this is correct?
Yeah, it is. Though it sounds pretty stupid in English.
Yeah, yeah.
In Russian, it rhymes and sounds nice. Anyway, it means don't talk when you eat. Mm-hmm. Our parents and teachers were worried that we might choke on our food if we talked at mealtime.
I thought it had more to do with plain etiquette.
No.
All right. Well, how about this one? Не говори с набитым ртом. Don't talk with your mouth full.
Oh, that's just an effort to teach kids good manners. Ah. When you talk with your mouth full, bits and pieces of food may fly out of your mouth. A disgusting sight.
Actually, pretty funny. Ha ha. All right, what about this one? I remember my parents telling me this. Я тебе слово, ты мне 10. I tell you one word, you tell me 10 back.
In my case, it was 20.
Ah.
I tell you one word, you tell me 20 back. Means don't talk back to your parents.
Well, Natasha, you love to talk back.
Do I?
You talk a mile a minute. Any subject. All right. One more, rather obvious. Тебе о будущем думать надо, а ты все в игрушки играешь. Instead of thinking about your future, you're still playing with toys.
In other words, are you ever going to grow up? Or are you going to stay a case of arrested development? My mom used to call me дефективный переросток, or a case of arrested development, when I sucked my thumb in my sleep, took a lot of toys to bed to keep me company at night, and on many other occasions.
And there will be more quotes from our parents next week.
By the way, if you remember any catchy quotes from your parents that haunted you through your childhood and youth, do share them with us and we'll read them on the show.
This is From Moscow with Love from the Voice of Russia. Time to check your emails and our Facebook fan site.
Our Facebook fan site is at facebook.com/FromMoscowWithLove. And while there, please press like if you like. Just like Abdurrahman Askarov, D. Vijaya Krishna Bhat, and Han Zahirullah did. Thank you. Lots of activity there.
Yeah, you can say that again, especially after your story about the apples at your dacha and how you got copper poisoning.
Ooh, that was a terrible thing.
Yeah, Anthony Brett Daw commented, applesauce, maybe. We have a great bronze tubs, 50 gallons for same purpose.
You see?
Sounds like a headline.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, your buddy Wei Wang wrote, Russia just banned the apples from Poland, rightly so. Natalie, you are doing your part to wean Russia from import dependence. In my opinion, you deserve a Hero of Socialist Labor medal from the government.
Vasily and I both deserve it, but it has nothing to do with apples.
Not me, thanks. Or give me that parking permit, for God's sakes, okay? Sabine and Rhea Crossley commented, reminds me of my grandmother having us pick apples from her tree so she could bake us the most delicious apple pie.
Reminds me, speaking of pies, just yesterday my eldest daughter Sandy baked a traditional American apple pie. Yum, yum. Oh, my, it was delicious.
I can imagine. My mom loved apple pie. We never had an apple tree at our dacha, but it never stopped her from making a great-tasting pie, just like we had in America. Speaking of our moms and dads, Stephen Graves heard our last show where I spoke about my parents, and he writes, just a quick word to say it was so nice to hear the on-air tribute you gave to your mother and father. I'm always touched when you speak of them and the stories you share with us via your microphone. Those stories, along with numerous ones that only you know, are a constant reminder of how dear and important they will always be in your life. That, more than anything, keeps them smiling. But McDonald's is a nice extra touch. Outstanding once again. Cordially, Stephen. Thank you, Stephen. You know, it means a lot to me. And as you probably remember, I mentioned in the previous broadcast that my dad's birthday is several days from that of my mom's. Naturally, I was back at the cemetery and left my dad a, you know what? A bottle of Coke. Yes, you know why? It was his beverage of choice when we were living in the States, and he would be up all night working, writing articles for the Soviet National Daily Pravda. He would work on a story for a while and would get a phone call from Pravda at around 3 a.m, and he would have to dictate it or read it aloud over the phone to the newspaper stenographers in Moscow. That's how it was done in those days. You know, there was no internet, there was no satellite, and that tall mug of ice-cold Coke was an ever-present fixture on his work table. To rephrase, for my dad, work went better with Coke.
If I remember correctly, Pepsi first appeared in the Soviet Union in the mid-70s. Coke made a brief appearance during the 1980 Moscow Olympics.
Yeah, it wasn't until the early 90s that Coca-Cola was widely available here. Sorry, my dad never lived to see that day.
Hello to Lee Sylvie in Mentor, Ohio, the United States, who sent in a reception report.
I'm writing to report hearing the new From Moscow with Love program via WRMI. Interesting program. As always, I enjoyed the programs and would very much appreciate a QSL card via return mail or email. UTC time, 0259 to 0330, frequency 9955 kilohertz, SINPO 44444, receiver Yaesu FT847 transceiver, antenna 40 meter long, inverted L wire, elevated 4 meters.
That's good, right?
Yeah, that's very good, Natasha, yes. Lee, thanks for listening. And I have forwarded your reception to Jeff White at Radio Miami International.
It's official. From Moscow with Love is back on shortwave. For the time being, every Monday night in the Americas at 03:30 UTC. That's UTC Tuesdays on 9955 kilohertz via WRMI.
For the time being, yeah. Now, let's get back to Enrique Zahora's very interesting letter. He writes, Privyet, Vasily, Natalia. Hi, Vasily and Natalie.
Hi, Enrique.
I listen to your show in either of these ways. I download your podcast when I have free time or on some Saturdays live during my tasty late breakfast. Today was during a tasty breakfast.
How tasty was it? Did you try my recipe for tamale and ajap sandali?
You should do more recipes next time or whatever.
I will, and probably I'll bring them for you to try.
Okay, thanks. He goes on, 33 degrees Celsius, quite hot. Fortunately, we're having a not-too-hot summer in Spain. Not too many forest fires and chaos. Many times unemployed firefighters set forests ablaze, apart from wood speculators and psychopaths.
Do they really do that?
I don't believe it. Finally, Henry says, I remember listening in the 90s to Radio Moscow with a big Sanyu radio. The sound quality was great. By the way, say hi to Svetlana Yakimenko and other presenters of the VOR.
I will most certainly say hi to Svetlana on your behalf, Enrique.
You know something? Svetlana is always by my side while I'm driving in my car.
You guys traveling together?
Yeah, man. She lives inside my car navigation system. In 150 meters, turn right on ramp, first exit, then turn left and make a U-turn. Oh! And I love the way Henry signs his letter. Enrique Lenivitz, Lazy Henry, best wishes, do svidaniya, Henry. Thank you.
That's great. But I'm afraid our time is up.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
See you next week. All the best.
Stay safe and
do svidaniya.